Exodus 15. Praise God. You know, I thought I was going to end this series today, but I'm not ending today anymore. Praise the Lord. When I finish it, you will know. All right? I sense that some people want me to continue. Nobody told me. But whenever you're ministering like that, there's something called a pool where somebody places a demand on you. And I've taught you that before, how to place a demand. I was at one conference in 96. And I said this by demand. I said, this man will not just lay hands on me. He'll give me something memorable. 95, sorry. You're used to my mixing of those years, right? So he ministered, and he laid hands on me, and he gave me his jacket. I don't think he was coming from home. I said, I'm going to give away this jacket. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I was preaching 2 weeks ago. Where was I in Adokita? Huh? And a lady was 2 weeks ago. A lady just came to me. In fact, my protocol team wanted to discourage her. She said, can I have your jacket, sir? And then I said, no, let me give it to her. So I gave it to her. She took it overnight. Right? And then she told me, was it last week, that she went to lay it on some people who were sick. And they got healed. I know people. This is a jacket probably that I wear. Some of you know the jacket. Now is this. You know what my jacket is. This black corduroy jacket. That's the one. The one that somebody will use it and get someone healed. So that's what's placing the demand. So I sense that some people wanted me to continue this teaching. Now if I say who wants, you want to raise your hand, right? And say, I want you to. What is it? So I will continue like that. Praise God. Amen. All right, so we just continue that. Like okay, Exodus 15. Let's go. Now the B part, don't forget. I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. Now we've clarified what that means. Now this statement was made. If you just read the previous chapter, which is chapter 14, that was the deliverance of the children of Israel. That was when they passed through the Red Sea. And so, if you read the first few verses of chapter 15, you discover that statements were made concerning God. This is what we call Moses' songs. So he begins to tell, let me just read a few of them. I will sing unto the Lord, verse 1, for he has triumphed gloriously. The us and the rider have he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God. And I'll prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I'll exalt him. So he's going on and, you know, talks a whole lot about God's deliverance. And then he says in verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. The house of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the water of the sea upon them. The children of Israel went on dry land, the midst of the sea. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out, some of our women, after her with a timbrel and with the dances. That still happens today, right? Does that still happen today? Alright, you don't believe that. And Miriam answered, sing it to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider, as he thrown to the sea. Now, shortly after that, there was now the water that was made sweet at Marah. You know, the water was actually bitter in verse 23. And then Moses said, what shall we drink? And Moses said to them, look, he took a tree, and then which in a cast in the waters, and then the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, that is, he tested them. So the next statement, now, the reason why 26 was to affirm God's deliverance. That she, if I could, that's the light by which 26 came out. That I did all this for you. That Moses is speaking. Moses is the one actually talking. Verse 25 and 26. And he says, if you hearken unto the Lord your God. And that's Moses speaking. Right? You ready? Come on. That's Moses. So, he said, look. He won't just. That it's not just good enough that he will take you out of the captivity of the Egyptians. You see, he will not allow diseases to come on you. So, as he spoke about God's deliverance, which is from the bondage of Egypt, Moses said, look, he won't stop at that. He is the Lord that heals you. That is, he lets them see a nature, character in God, that he won't just save you. You know, some people want to teach about faith. All they say about faith, about God, faith for salvation, faith for righteousness. No. God's not just about you getting to heaven, and then you are delivered from sin, and then he grants you the gift of righteousness. He also wants your body well. Are you following what I'm saying? So, Moses has to say, look, he will not permit, like some scholars tell us, or he will not put any diseases on the, that was placed on the Egyptians on you, for he is the Lord that healeth thee. Now, watch this. How did they pass through the Red Sea? Hebrews 11 and verse 29. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are said to do were drowned. By faith in Christ, we understand that. By faith, just like the previous text, talks about they kept the Passover in 28. Now, notice what killed the Egyptians was not the waters. What killed the Egyptians was stupidity. Plain stupidity. Because I don't know anybody who will stretch forth a rod over Atlantic Ocean and split into two. So, if somebody that is your captive does that, and then the sea splits into two, then he is passing through, then decide to follow him, you are stupid. Because he could easily just put the rod back and the thing closes up. Hope you are following what I'm saying. It is just this silly. I remember when I wanted to learn to swim. So they told us that the swimming teacher was coming on Monday. No, I think on Tuesday. Forgotten the dates. And that was 1990. So I said, I can learn to swim because I felt swimming is just a matter of moving your hand like this in the water. So here I was. I went there on my own. The swimming pool was in the cousin's house. So we were there. They said the teacher was coming in on Tuesday. So I said, by the time they come on Tuesday, they'll find out that I already know how to swim. You know, that's quite some stupidity. So I started from the very end where it's not deep. So I got in there. And I was enjoying myself. You know, enjoying myself. Until somehow, I started to descend into the abyss. I'm going lower parts of the earth. I'm going, woo! Hell no. That's how I think, abu, abu, abu. At the point, I just closed my eyes and said, I'm dead. I'm dead. Oh my, I'm still alive. You know, I believe that day was very supernatural. A cousin of mine just said he saw water moving. He said he was just wondering, why? What's going to be moving in this swimming pool? So he goes in there. Then he grabs a hold of my hand. Ah, the human being. And he pulls me out. And I'm out. My eyes go red. Then he started doing stuff that didn't film. My belly. So by the time the swimming teacher came, I learned my basic lesson the day before. You know. But if anything had happened to me, that would have been stupidity. So the Egyptians were playing stupid. Then they went in to, see, opens itself up and you go in the middle. Do you know when it's going to close? You know? Obviously, the children of Israel went by faith. The faith of one man, not true. Faith of one man, Moses. Just like the rock brought out water with the faith of one man. So he, by his faith, that's Moses. Children of Israel passed through the sea. And so they were playing silly. So sometimes, you know, and I wrote in my note, I don't know whether I'm right to say this. I said, logic killed them. Logic. It killed them. Now, before then, in Exodus 6, don't forget I said, that statement in 26 was made in further affirmation of God's deliverance. You know, if I believe him for salvation, I can really believe him for healing. What about that? Is that true? Come on, is that true? If I believe him for salvation, I believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and I believe that he has justified me. And it won't be much to see him as my healer. And that's what Moses said. If he can set you free, okay, from Pharaoh, it's no big deal that he will not allow diseases upon your body. And you know, we said, the word, I am the Lord that healeth thee, is the same word, I am your doctor, right? Come on. That's the word Rapha. I am your doctor. And when it said, I am, that is, I'm a personal physician for you. Glory to his name. Now, go to chapter 6 quickly. He's talking to Moses in chapter 6. Praise God. So who is your doctor? Amen. He's your doctor. Yes, Exodus 6. He says in verse 2, I am the Lord. He said unto Moses. He said, I have appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. That's what I am, Shvei or Yahweh. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have heard the groaning of Judah of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. That's my promise. Wherefore saith the Judah of Israel, I, the Lord, I will bring you out. Now notice it. It said four things. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. One, I will rid you out of their bondage. Two, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with great judgment. Three, are you still there? I will take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God, and you shall be what you shall know that I, the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the borders of the Egyptians, I'll bring you into the land concerning this which you are sought to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, and I'll give it to you for an heritage, I, the Lord. So, four things he said. Four. Deliverance, sanctification, redemption, and possession. Four things. Now, these things were so important that when the Jews commemorated what you call the Feast of the Passover, which we call today Holy Communion and stuff like that, they had these four cups. In other words, he wanted them to remember. Now, why did God ask them to celebrate the Passover? He wanted them to remember those things. To remember. So he had four cups. So when Jesus was having the Passover with the disciples, we're going to see it in Matthew 26, and Mark 14, and Luke 22. He was taking the four cups. See, the Passover feast is not just agave bread and what do you call it now? Tasty thyme, you know. They had bitter herbs, all right? They had the Paschal lamb. And then they had the shoe bread, what you call, the unleavened bread. And then they had the four cups. The four cups represented those four things. And they would sing what you call the halal. You know, when Jesus was through, they sang a hymn. That's the halal. Okay, they sing halal to celebrate that Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy is endures forever. So they would take the cups one by one, then they give thanks. So those four cups were to put them in remembrance of the four things God said. I will sanctify you. I will redeem you. I will deliver you. Right? And I will possess you. Four things. And so, you know, Jesus said, you know, you can't call that. Jesus said he will not drink up the fruit of one until the kingdom. Remember he said that. You know, he gave them a cup. Said, I won't drink of this vine until. So that was the one reserved for the resurrection. I thought this before. I think it's in So Great Salvation too. Huh? So Great Salvation too. So there were four cups. Now the point is this. Why did he want them to keep celebrating it? Why would God want us to remember his actions of power? Why? Why? Why did he want them to remember what he did? Why? Now, quickly go to Matthew 26. And put your hands in Mark 14. At the same time, Luke 22. Matthew 26. Praise God. See, there's a way you can treat the Bible like a history book. And say, oh, God did this. You can treat the Bible like a reference book. But you can also treat the Bible like a book of faith. When I read this, I know this can happen again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember, sometimes in 95, we're having this series of meetings. And someone suggested that on the last day, that we should have a love feast. Because I had two weeks of meetings, so I was supposed to hand over the meetings to certain people, because I never believed I was going to be a pastor. So I felt I was going to ordain some people into the meetings, the new ministry, and how I would be traveling around and be like the founder, but not the pastor. We used to call that royal family, Christian fellowship. Instead of called the meetings, Dunamis meetings, so I was... So the last day we were taking a love feast. So people brought out, only one person brought rice in the whole congregation. People brought biscuits, puff, you know, only one person brought a small cooler of rice. And then one brother, I don't know what church he's in, but I know he's a minister now. His name is Brother Victor. He said, well, let's believe for the multiplication of the rice. That's what he said. And there was such an anointing of the Spirit. And then we started to serve everybody from that small cooler until everybody was filled. The thing never went down. Praise God. 1995 September. You know, he just said, let's believe God. I would have said, my own faith was just to lay hands on people there. But he just said, let's believe God for multiplication of five loaves and two fish. So, God started seven people, and then the stuff remained like this. And he kept serving everybody. And everybody ate out of five loaves and two fish. Praise God. So the Bible is not a book of history. Ah! God was faithful. God used to be ex-miracle worker. He has retired. No. Those things happened because they can happen again. Praise God. You understand what I just said? That's why I told you, never doubt a miracle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Never doubt a miracle. Never. Never doubt a miracle. Before then, I used to watch Archbishop Idahosa, and I used to see him as, because the Archbishop wore Agbada, and I felt, why should a man of God wear Agbada? He should wear a suit. Scripture and verse. But I just believed that. So that day in the evening, it was around Christmas period, he was preaching. Then I just paid attention. You know, one of those days where you just paid attention. You didn't want to watch the OGTV. And I just paid attention. And my brother was lying down. He hadn't stood up for days. And then he said, there's someone watching me now. Your brother is on the couch. You're sitting beside him. And I'm saying, is there, you know, you wonder what he's talking about. He mentioned, and he went further to mention our location. That's why I knew, oh no. God, we were making you look stupid. And then he said, lay your hands on him. I laid my hands on my brother. Now, before he said that, I've seen some miracles. In my mind, I'm thinking, it's true, God works miracles. But through this kind of man, this man, chained, a man of God. Man of God. But I said, lay hands, I laid hands. And here my brother got up. He just sat up. From that day, my mouth went. Praise God. Amen. So, never doubt a miracle. If God does miracles in the Bible, He does them today. Matthew 26, quickly. Look at this. Jesus said about the same cup. He said, take, verse 26, eat, this is my body. Drink ye all of it, verse 27. This is my blood of New Testament, verse 28, which is shed for many. For the remission of sins. Mark 14, verse 24, the same thing. Now, Luke captured something that the other people did not. And that's how we know that Paul and Luke's account were one and the same. They were both not there. That means they got their account from the same source. Luke 22. Verse 19. He took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave to them and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this, or this do, in remembrance of me. In remembrance. Now, the unfortunate thing is that people are starting using this verse for memorial of Jesus. In memorial of Jesus. That's not what he said. In remembrance of me here is this. You see, I've told you, when you study the Bible, study everything in context. Everything, all the contents in context. Now, let me ask a question, a very basic one. Did Jesus institute the Passover ceremony? Huh? Did he? Was he handing the Passover to them? Huh? No, because it was existing before now. In fact, if you read Luke 2, when him and his parents, earthly parents, when they went to Jerusalem, they were celebrating the feast of Passover. So that wasn't the first Passover. But this time around, he chose to explain the meaning of the Passover ceremony to them. Are you still out there? Remember, in John's Gospel chapter 5, verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they who testify of me. In other words, the reason why that feast was instituted was for them to think about Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? Was to think about who? Jesus. In Luke's Gospel 25 to 27. He said, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Now, notice the bread broken for me, broken for you, refers to his death and his blood as well. The cup also refers to his death. He says, broken for you. So, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. So, he touched on the Passover. This is about me. In other words, the meal of the Passover all together, just like Hebrews 10 tells us, they are a shadow of a person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, that means the essence of that memorial, or better still, what Jesus was saying was, do this in remembrance. That is, with me in mind. That word in remembrance is the word anamnesis in the Greek. A-N-A-M-N-E-S-I-S. You know, nesis, always talk about the mind. Anamnesis. It means to bring to mind or to think of. To bring to mind or to think of. Hebrews chapter 10 is the only place where anamnesis was used, and it wasn't referring to this same feast. You'll find the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. But here in Hebrews 10, and then verse 3. Hebrews 10, verse 3. Are you still there? Are you still there? I'll start from the previous verses. For the Lord, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which are offered year by year continually make the commas there into perfect. Verse 1. Verse 2. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sins. So I say consciousness. That's the word consciousness of sins. That is, as they kept offering those sacrifices, there was a consciousness of sins. Okay, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance. That's why I'm amnesis. Again, of sins every year. That is a consciousness of sins. So, when Jesus was talking to these folks, he was saying, this is in remembrance of me. This is in remembrance of me. So, the Passover feast was a feast that points to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 7. It says, look at it, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, quickly. What does it tell you? 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 5, 7. If you're there, say amen. Or just a few people are there. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. If you're there, say amen. Now the B part. For even, what does it say? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Are you there? So Christ is our Passover. Say Christ is our Passover. That's where you have the word Paschal. Is our Passover sacrificed for us. Glory to his name. So that means our Passover is past. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, good. Sacrifice for us. So, let me ask a question quickly. Jesus is the substance of what the Passover represented. That means the Passover feast was a shadow. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? That means Jesus is the reality. Is that correct? Okay, good. So, that means the Passover feast was for a time until Jesus came. Was that correct? Okay, good. So, that means since Jesus came, the Passover feast is now in the gospel. Is that correct? Oh, come on. I thought I saw something. Is that correct? That means the Passover feast is now in the gospel. Come on. Are you there? Good. So, that means not in sinful in taking bread and wine. Nothing. But you see, it's for babes. Glory to God. It's for babes. you discover this was the only, 1 Corinthians 11, go there. This was the only church Paul used that feast to explain Christian conduct. The only church. When he spoke to Ephesus, he told them they are done away with. When he spoke to Colossae, he said that it was a shadow. And the substance is Christ, Colossians 2:16. The book of Hebrews tells us all that has been done away with. But when he's talking to Corinth, because Corinth are yet to grow. And it was a mixture, you know, Corinth had Jews and Gentiles. And then the church of God, 1 Corinthians 10:32, they had Jews and Gentiles there. So, but the point is this, and that's why I don't want us to lose this. The point is this, if the Passover in God's deliverance in Egypt represented Jesus Christ, and healing was something that Moses emphasized after the Passover, that if he will make you, if he will deliver you from bondage, he will keep you healed. Hallelujah. He will keep you healed. So God doesn't stop at giving you the gift of righteousness. Are you still there? He also assumes the healer in your life. So Jesus Christ came to save the world from sin, or he also came to keep us healed and well. Is that okay? Is that okay? Also, to keep us healed and well. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Let me just emphasize something there. When Paul repeated the same thing, I've explained this before. If you need to get the details of this, you just get the teaching matters in Corinth. Am I right? So great salvation to the matters in Corinth. Now, look at this. Paul now says in verse 25, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's day till he comes. He didn't say as often as we. He used the word I man. So when he used I man in the Greek, that means he's talking to the audience. So as you do this and you do that, because in Colossae, he told them that let no man judge you in respect of meat and drinks. That they are all ordinances. That they are done away in Christ. Christ is the substance of it. So, let me give you a little bit of some technicalities. This is just for study, but just now when it says, as often as you drink it, okay, or better still, take it. This is my body. In the Greek, there are two words used for drink and eat. Eat is the word estio, E-S-T-H-I-O, to eat. Then drink is the word pino, P-I-N-O, means to drink. But then he adds something to it. In the original, you have eshiet, E-S-H-I-E-T-E. And also that's for the eshio, that is eat. Then in drink, you have pinet, P-I-N-E-T-E. It means you might. Permissive term. There was no instruction to do it. You might. You might eat this bread and you might drink this cup, but do it in remembrance of me. So he wasn't instructed. If he said eat, if he had said eat this bread, I said he has used Eshia straight away. That means he's giving them an exhortation to eat. Or if he had said drink, that is pino, that means he's telling them to drink it. But he said you might. Praise God. That's a bit of some technicality, I think. Let me just get out of that quickly. Alright. So, the issue is Jesus Christ in their deliverance. That is, in their deliverance, they were to see him in Egypt. They were to see Jesus Christ. That is, the essence of the types and the shadows was to point them to a person. The person of Christ. Point them to a person. So Jesus stands in the office of a savior and also a healer. I'll take that one more time. He is a savior and is also a healer. I'll take that one more time. He is a savior, that is a deliverer from sins, and is also a healer of sickness and diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you here, you've exercised faith in Christ for your salvation from sin? Use your hand. Raise it. Come on. You exercise faith in Christ? Oh, all right. Now, do you know that the same person you trust for eternal salvation is the same person who can heal your body? Praise God. Now, if you cannot trust Him for healing, why do you trust Him for salvation? How are you sure? Well, someone told me, well, when it comes to healing, God can do it. He might not do it. It depends on His will at that time. I said, brother, you are on dangerous path. So He can also choose not to save you. He said, no, that's different. As I always say, different. It's a character issue. It's a character issue. He says, well, I thought about it yesterday. I think you should go to hell. See, Paul said, no, I'm gone. Unquestionable, you are. When people say that song, I wonder what they are singing about. Unquestionable. What does it mean? No, I'm very innocent. Trust me that I'm not being mischievous. But what does it mean? Unquestionable. That is, whatever he does, take it like that. That's not true. Somebody who doesn't want to be questioned will not give you 66 books. He'll just say, hey, whatever you see, Namio. Right? He won't give you 66 books. Praise God. Someone say, whatever happens to man is the will of God. Then why do sinners get punished? Because that means the guy did not believe because God made it difficult for him to believe. That is not true. So don't have some thinking about God that he hates questions. I ask the Lord questions. He hates questions. If that was so, the fourth gospel would have just four pages. Jesus kept asking us, answering questions. Or when the Father is irritated, he just said, I'm irritated. Answer them. He will answer their questions. In fact, they will ask some of the most stupid questions. Can you imagine somebody saying, what is the way? Say, I'm the way. He now told him, show us plainly. Who is the Father? He said, have I been long with you? And they said, we are waiting. I mean, he kept answering their questions. After saying, it's unquestionable. They were asking, why did that person get healed? That person didn't get healed. He would answer them. I mean, his disciples, they brought someone to be healed, and then the guys didn't get healed. Said, Lord, why could we not cast it out? I just said, you want to be ranking with me in the ministry? You know, he didn't say that. He said, because of your unbelief. And he gave us answers. Praise God. One time Peter said, you could know that they were doubting him. Master, the victory you caused us with that they were all. Should I have said, you were trying me before. He said, very, very, I say unto you. He used that opportunity again to explain. Hallelujah. When he rose from the dead, and they said, and he was saying, what are you talking about? I said,
You are asking me what we're talking about. Are you a JJC in this place? And he was the one talking to them. He said, do you not know? Do you not know that a prophet, his disciples called him prophet. You know they were saying in Matthew saying that the people called him prophet. It's their own thinking too. He said, prophet. Used of God. So he said, oh fool, slow of heart. To believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not. And he took the point again to explain. Thomas Didymus said, I'm not there. I don't believe he rose from the dead. I don't believe. He appeared to Thomas. He said, Thomas, reach out your finger. You know, at that point, you should have shame. You know, if it's at me personally, as he put his fingers, bring your finger, I'll just say, paralyze! No, you want to test my power. Do you get it? He didn't do that. He said, touch me. He said, touch my side. Thomas went, my Lord, my God. That's how I say it. My Lord, my God. Oh, it is true. I know he explained. I said, unquestionable, unquestionable. Those are songs that defame God. Would you go to court on these matters? You can ask God questions. Hallelujah. You can ask him questions. Praise God. He gave us his spirit too, to learn. Glory to God. You know, Paul's letters too were answers to questions. How can you be a pastor and people can ask you questions? Someone say, he's in the spirit. No. Bros, bring it down to the natural. Let's get what you're talking about. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, one time I had a small, and sometimes the Spirit of God will speak to you. And I had a thing about healing about certain people. And then I was so disturbed. And I was praying. The Lord told me to go and see someone I know and talk to him about it. So as I spoke to him about it, he just said, don't worry. He just played a tape for Brother Hagin. Said, the answer is there. So it was clear to me. That when I heard that, that further inspired what I taught later on grace and honor. Remember grace and honor? 1996, there was this brother who had left our ministry a year before. No, he didn't leave our ministry. We were walking together, so he fell off. And some things happened. He told me this after a meeting. I remember I was having a meeting, the anointing and the anointings on the faith altar. So as I was ministering, I gave a word of knowledge. And I ministered to him. He said the Lord told him it was a sickness he had, an ailment, since he was in primary school. So the Lord told him, you will be healed when you go to his meeting. And he found out that this is the brother that I had spoken things about. So you go to his meeting. And I didn't know. The Lord told him. So he came and I ministered to him. And he got healed. I have a testimony. My mind was shaking. Hey. Because we went on good terms before he came. Said, I have a testimony. Can I say something? I said, hey, shh. And I'm praying. Should I allow him? My head was, before I said, he had gotten up. Because there was no microphone. I said, praise the Lord. I said, now I know this man is a true man of God. My mind went down. Just a little bit. You get it? I didn't lay hands on him. I just spoke. So he said, so and so and so and so, it was God. And I kept quiet. Praise God. You know, some of those things are like that. I just kept quiet. You know, I don't know why I said that. I didn't plan to say it. I hope it blesses someone. Right? Now let's look at some things because I want to talk about this. Amen. So Jesus is my healer. Praise God. So if I can see his salvation, I can see his healing. Praise God. Are you still there? Yes, sir. I can see his healing. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 11. Paul said something in here, in verse 30. For this cause,
many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. A lot of people have spoken about not discerning the Lord's body having to do with not discerning the bread and the wine. That's quite carnal. That's not carnal. Paul wasn't talking about that. So that's why they think, if you're about to eat the Holy Communion, there's this long sermon. Be careful. It enters your mind, it becomes poison, you die. I've always asked the question, point to somebody you know who died for eating Holy Communion. Do you know something? That nobody in the history of Israel, nobody was ever stoned for sin. Nobody was hung on the tree for blasphemy. Are you still there? I thought that would get your attention. Praise God. Until Jesus. Jesus was the only, praise God. Those other folks who were nailed to the cross, they were done by the Romans. They were not recommended by the Pharisees and the chief priests. They were for crimes committed under the Roman law. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope you're getting this. So, when Paul was saying not discerning the Lord's body, he was referring to the body of Christ. Now listen carefully. He said this is the reason why some are weak, why they are sickly, and even some die. There's no place in the entire epistles where an explanation was given why Christians are sick and they die. A service place. Come on, are you listening? I'll take it again. There is no place. Now, you know, we have Epaphroditus. He didn't die. He was not feeling fine. Why? Because he was not careful about his body. Alright? Come on, are you following this? But there's no other place in the New Testament where there's a reason given why people are sick, why they are weak, and some even die. No one place but this place. I think we should pay attention to it. What about you? What about you? And carelessly, we have thought he was referring to how they eat the bread and the wine. Abba! Even under the law, nobody was dying for eating wrongly the bread and the wine. Isn't that true? After the disciples ate it, they betrayed Jesus. The same night. So that wasn't it. What was it about this church? This church in Corinth? There were factions there. There was strife. Are you listening? There was faction and there was strife in this church. Look at that's why verse 31 says, you judge yourselves. Verse 33 says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may not come together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. There was strife. In verse 17, look at what it says about them. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. There must be heresies among you, that things which are proved may be made manifest. So there was division in this church. That's why he said they're not discerning the Lord's body. There was division in this church.
And strife destroys. Strife destroys. Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an example of somebody who was found in strife and offenses. He prophesied that Jesus was going to take sins away. He said it with his mouth, that Jesus has become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. John the Baptist. He was present when the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. John the Baptist. But in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, he was in prison. John the Baptist. Then he sends out his disciples to ask whether Jesus is the Christ or should we wait for another. And Jesus gave an answer. Go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 11. An answer. Jesus says, go and show John again those things. Verse 4, which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who shall not, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know, he said, how come no other person in Jesus' days was killed by the authorities until Christ died for our sins? John was in offense. He had cut off a spiritual relationship. He was living in strife, in offense. He felt Jesus did not speak up for him, I think. Or he felt Jesus should have been making a sermon out of his predicament. Jesus didn't even mention it. And he went into offense. I say it like this. When you are in offense, you will not see what God is doing. Offended people are always selfish. It's about themselves. He wasn't particular about what Jesus was doing in the world. It was about himself. Offended people are always like that. They always consider self. Perks. And that was John. He was offended. Look at James 3. Still there? Brother Hagin says, Kenneth Hagin, says every time that he has any symptom of sickness, the first thing he does, he checks his love walk. Do I have any hurt against them? Now, that's not a walk's mentality. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. That's simply saying what? I hope I am not walking in agreement with the devil in an area of my life. While some people are particular about sexual sins, people don't know that the most deadly sins are spiritual in nature. The deadliest of them all. Strife. Offenses. Get it? Paul didn't call the church at Corinth. He didn't call them carnal because of moral sins. He called them carnal because of spiritual sins. Are you following what I'm saying? Division. Strife. Offenses. Please follow this. James 3, you learning something? Are you learning something? James 3. Because notice this. You know, the power of God does not flow where there's strife. You know that? And dishonor. Now the power of God is with you, right? That means also with you, the power of God might not flow or will not flow when there's strife. Faith does not walk where there's strife.
Faith doesn't work where there's dishonor. Doesn't work. That's why you see some folks, some churches, where they don't teach so much of faith or revelation knowledge, and they say a lot of miracles. Why? Because the people there, they honor the preachers, and then there's a lot of honor. And then you see some people that have revelation knowledge, and then they'll not see much miracles because there's competition in the church. And there's strife. Still watching this? Are you following this? James 3:14. He says, if there be bitter envy and strife in your heart, he says, glory not and lie not against the truth. That is, don't begin to justify it. Hallelujah. There were two pastors in this country, well known. They were fighting themselves. I had to call a pastor I know that knows both of them. And I told him, I said, what are you guys playing with? This is getting out of hand. He said, you know, sir, I told the pastor I know, I said, if you don't call both of them to order, I won't call you again. And you allow your family to attend a church like that, where you see obviously that there's strife between the pastor and somebody else. He said, never done on him. I said, go right now and settle it. Within 1 week, to the glory of God, they made up just this last month. And the strife has been on for 6 years, I think. 6 years. I said, settle it now. You want to expose the church members and everybody? Strife? You know me. I don't get involved in those kind of things. At all. I don't know how some people can sleep overnight. And they are carrying things on their... How did you do it? Believers. I know John Biden. Yes, I'm right. I know what I'm saying. You are yielding to the devil. No more. He says, do not glory in it. I was telling the pastor, I said, you know, strife is logical. It can be logical. You will explain why you are doing it. It's logical to you. But it's sinful. Someone listen to what I'm saying. Look at what James says. Strife. The root word of the word strife is erithia in the Greek. E-R-E-R-I-T-H-E-I-A. It's actually, it means self-interest. Or selfish interest. It was used by Aristotle. You know, Aristotle was a Greek scholar, a philosopher. Okay, it was used by Aristotle for political campaigns. You know, Nigeria. Said, my people. And it's for himself, oh. My people. I say, I will serve you. And it's for his position. Everything is used for campaigns. Selfish motives. Where people are selfless, there can be division in the church. Where people are selfless, it's not about you. Where families, I've said it before, what brings divorce is not somebody went to have a woman. That's not what brings divorce. Or somebody did something, he beat you, though beating is horrible. Those animals that do that. But you see, I said, what breaks marriages and relationships is unforgiveness. What did he do to me? And he will cry, and she will be crying. What did he do to you? Okay, did he not do it to God? That's God. Is unforgiveness. I was telling one sister, I said, do you know something? You are the one grieving the Holy Spirit. Me that was offended, I said, shut up. The Bible says, let no strife or bitterness. He said, forgive one another. He said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what he was talking about. Not that the Holy Spirit is moving and he says it's not the Holy Spirit. That's not grieving the Holy Spirit. It is your conduct. Unforgiveness is what grieves the Holy Spirit. Go and read it very well, Ephesians 4:29. Are you following what I'm saying? Let it go. Some of us, the way we retain hurts in our mind is a confession. The same you have held fast that confession for so long without wavering. Leave this matter.
Look at this. So it says this, in your heart.
So, strife is always for self-preservation. The Bible says it's a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:20. Of the old man. Philippians 1:17 says some people even preach the gospel out of strife. Out of strife. Philippians 2:3. Bible says let there be no strife or vainglory. 2 Corinthians 12:20. You see all that there. Now, look at what it says happens. Don't forget, it says strife where? In your heart. Not in your heart. That means we will not even see it. But oftentimes it will come out later. It will come out. Let me say this to you. I'm talking about myself. I do checks in my heart regularly. Is there anybody that I'm holding something against in my heart? I check it. And the first thing I do when I want to release it, when I see I find it, I pray for the person. And when I pray for the person, I make sure I do something for the person and I begin to speak in good terms. You see, you cannot afford to walk with God and remain vibrant with the Spirit of God and you have strife in your heart. That thing destroys lives. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at what James says. Let's read verse 16 together. For where, everybody, James 3, let's go. For where envy and strife is, there is what? Confusion and what? You cannot imagine what it will do. And every evil work. That word evil work is phallos in the Greek, is wicked. So you remove strife from your heart. Remove it. Look at Mark. So Ephesians 4. You know, there are sometimes you are praying for people and then they have a problem and God will just show you. Ask this person about so and so. There was somebody I was praying for. And Lord said, ask him. Sorry, the lady. Said, ask her. And I asked. Said, is there anything? And all that. Was a brother. Our brother. Was stepbrother. When I mentioned. Yes. Said, is there somebody? She was kept quiet. You know, she didn't say anything. She said, there's somebody in your family that you are there. She said, she didn't see it as a wrong. Yeah, when you say, has somebody offended you? Do you have anybody you have something against? And you say, there's nobody. You know the reason why? Because you are settled in the offense so much, you don't see it anymore as an offense. I said, think very well. Said, And the face just changed. I said, who? He said, well, maybe this is lesson. Do you want to hear what he did? You see? Not what he's doing, no, what he did. Why would you not carry sickness in your body? Strife and sickness are bodies. They are friends. Look at this. Ephesians 4. Are you hearing this? I'll talk about this quickly. Be angry, verse 26, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's already night, so let it go. Right? Neither give place to who? So anger. I shared that with you yesterday, right? About what? Anger. Don't speak out of anger. Anger. You are angry and you just speak. Then say, give no place to the devil. Do you think this happened in Corinth? Huh? You think this happened in Corinth? Satan does not come in and is just gisting. He comes in to destroy. That is why a good pastor, when you see people that are given to strife, the Bible says, cast out this corner and strife will cease. Just look for the person and say, Ross, cease, you know what? I've sat people down before as their pastor. I say, you know what? I want you to leave the church. Ah, say, why, sir? I say, no. Please go. Say, you know what? You can call me by my first name. Just say Shexy. Okay, just go. Do you understand? I said, please. Go. Now, that was then. Now, I won't beg you. Ah, no. I say, oh yeah! Go! You see how God will move differently when that happens. Go! Please. Say, send out this corner and strike who sees. I don't think anybody around me that I don't. Hey, go, 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 go! Go! Say, but I was only expressing myself. Hey, no, express yourself with the devil. You can go. Stay around me. Praise God. Weakness is not a virtue in leadership. He's a very soft pastor. Eh? That's how the devil will come and he will be soft with him. He's a nice guy. Now, a station is not the fruit of his spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you there? So, there are some things we can check in our life. Do you get what I'm talking about? Because Brother Hagin used to say this, and E.W. Kennedy said, faith has no song in unforgiveness. It has no song. That was why Jesus, when he was speaking under the law, and he got to Mark 11:25, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. Don't say, that is for the law. I said, wait, I agree it's for the law. But do you plan to hold anybody when you are praying? He said, but that's the law now. Don't use the excuse that we're in the New Testament to be sinning. Is it right for you to have forgiveness in your heart when you are praying? He said, no, but we know forgiveness is ours. It's ours. Shut up! Forgive! Which one is this? Ours? It's ours. It's ours. Forgive! I say, but we know in Christ we have an audience. We have an audience. So, you know, when you quote the scripture and look at it, this is an idiot. I taught you. Paul said, did the word come to you but by me? Is it not me? What told me? I cannot be cursed. Was that not taught you? I said, I can teach you something else. He said, sir, are you saying you want to use, I won't use the Bible? You know I don't use the Bible. And I will say, yeah. You better shut up. If you ask, go and tell your members in your fellowship, all those that braggado, not me. Healing is mine, praise God. So we can check our lives. I told the pastor one time, I said, look, if you are not making progress, ministry should be making progress. Check some, there is something you are not doing, and there is something you are doing that you have to check. You have to evaluate. Praise God. Check it. Sometimes an adjustment in your heart. Just make that adjustment and straighten out. Are you following what I'm saying? I share some things that pastors today on the group. I'm not being sorry. Who are meditate upon it? You hear what I'm saying? Don't meditate very well and practice what is there. Romans 11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Obviously, this verse is talking about the resurrection, because it uses mortal bodies and zopohio in the Greek, which I explained last week. Obviously, it's the resurrection. You don't need to, there's not, when you see verse 19, the manifestation of the sons of God, and then you see verse 23, the first fruits of the spirit, the redemption of our body. That's what he's talking about. Okay. However, notice this. It just shows the awesome power that the believer carries everywhere he goes. That is, if I have enough power in my mortal body today to make it immortal, how much more healing in my body? Are you following what I'm saying? If I have enough power, that is, The resurrection power that is needed to turn this body from mortal to immortal won't come from heaven. The believer, the Bible says, he has been sealed unto the day of redemption. That is, there is enough power that is in me every time. That when the resurrection happens, which you call the rapture, it is the same power, hallelujah, that raised Jesus from the dead, that will quicken this mortal body and make it alive forevermore. Are you following what I'm saying? So, healing is with me. The healing power is with me. Are you following that? Look at Romans 4. The Bible speaks about Abraham, because we're talking about faith. It says, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. God, who quickeneth the dead, is the same word in Zopohil, that is, quickens the mortal body, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice what it says. He calleth those things. That means the power of God works by words. Calling things that be not. You know, it didn't say, who thinketh the things that be not. It didn't say, who meditates upon the things that be not. Is who calls the things that be not. Listen very well. The things of the Spirit and the power of God are voice activated. They are what? They are what? Voice. So Abraham definitely spoke. There were two things that were contradictory. Number one, God told him something. His body was saying something else. The Bible says his body now dead. And of course, it didn't mean that he was dead. But his body could not function the way God said it will. And then the deadness of Sarah's womb. So there were two contradictory things. Many of us think that the minute I read the word of God and I see what it says about myself, my body will just change. No. Your body will remain what it is until you activate what is available for you in Christ. It will remain the same way. It will. If Abraham remained that way, people have thought that Abraham, you know, God just delayed things. God wanted to prove it. God did not delay anything. I say it like this. Many times when there is a delay, there is something you have not done. I think I taught this in one teaching. There's this teaching. Turning hopeless situations around. Is it available? That was in 2009. That's Brother Higgins' title. I changed it. Changing hopeless situations. 2009. Can get that material. Changing hopeless. You say, what am I not doing? Now, obviously, it took Abraham that length of time to adjust in his confession. His confession was contrary to what God said. Go and check it. The minute he changed his confession from Abraham to Abraham, within a year, Isaac came. Within a year. Now, did God just call him father of many nations? He had told him in chapter 12. But he never adjusted. God will not change your confession for you. You will have to do it yourself. You will have to make that adjustment yourself. Within a year, Isaac came. There was the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says that Sarah, Hebrews 11:11, it says Sarah herself, by faith, she judged God faithful. Praise God. She judged God how? Faithful. Look, that word judge is the word consider. To consider. Our words agreed. And that's about couples. That means both of them were in faith. Are you following me? Imagine having to marry a man who will be, you know, and you are saying like, it's going like this. Say, look, there was one sister like that. She married one guy. And as the guy is talking,
So, gee, don't say those things again now. And the guy was just talking doubt. That was how one day their child was in a very terrible mess. It had to be a preacher who was in the house that day. Ah, said, look, don't disturb God with all these miracles things. You know, and he was saying it out of his conviction. Forget love. His conviction. You know, it's a place of agreement. That means Sarah was in faith. Abraham was also where? Imagine having to lecture Sarah about believing God. Somebody, she's the woman. Because, Okay, she can stay there. Say, are you mocking me? That you have faith. You can do teaching meeting for 2 years. But she was in faith. And things happened fast. Praise God. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Now look at some things I want us to note. As God gave the word, or as he reminded him, Romans 4, there were things he didn't do. Now, sometimes we are quick about what we should do, but there are things we should not do. The first thing he was not weak in faith. That means you can be weak in faith. The first thing is, he against hope, believed in hope. So there were two expectations. He against hope. There was something in the natural he should expect, but he believed against it. He believed against it. Sometimes the doctor's report. You just believe against it. Against hope. So we have supernatural hope and natural logical hope. This is what you should logically expect. When I was diagnosed with a kidney condition in 1992, and the doctor spelled out, I listened to what he said. And as I looked into my mother's eyes, I saw tears. Ah. You know, that's enough to say, there are some things pity will not help you. Somebody that likes to gather, sorry. Sorry is also used for those who will be around when you die. Don't like sorry, oh. Sorry. I know that I said, I know that I won't die, oh. You know? And there was a natural hope, and there is the supernatural hope that comes the minute you hear God's word. Who against hope did what? Believed in hope. So, faith is not riding on cherries. There will be things that will come contrary to God's word. Logical things. So against hope, he believed in hope, the first thing. He had something against. Number two. He considered not his own body. He wasn't weak in faith. He considered not. That means he had to, he had to train himself not to consider what was obvious. Are you thinking straight? This is, faith does not deny the facts, but faith upholds the greater facts of God's word. He considered not his own body. He considered not his own body. So in faith, there will be things you will not consider. That means there will be things you will be seeing like this. In fact, everybody will be seeing it with you, but you will not consider it. Now, where did he not consider it? In his words. Because he was calling the things that be not as though they were. So it's in your words. Not that I say in my heart, I'm not considering, but in my words, I have to tell the truth. No. He did not consider. A lady told me, he said, in a sentence, she was telling me, she mentioned doctor 5 times. Five times! I said, I don't remember her name now. Hey. I said, Bolale, yeah. I said, Bolale, in one sentence, doctor, and then when I said doctor, the doctor and then the doctor, I said, why did Jesus mention the doctor once? Jesus mentioned the mountain once. Because the minute you say it, it has what dominates your mind and your words. I said, no.
Say, you know what I'm going to do for you? Say, no. Say, I know. I said, you know what? I can't pray with you. Don't join me to those people who prayed with you. I will give you a teaching on miracles. I will know when the thing hits you. You will chat me up yourself. I now sent Brother Kola. You remember that year? What year was it? 2009. Isn't it? 2009. I now sent him. I think it was someone who good or something. I said, take this thing. It was a CD. I said, give it to her. It was a miracle. The doctor has said she can't have children again. I said, I did the test. The doctor here. Doctor. I'm not a doctor. And I'm not even a supervisor of doctors. I said, I'm going to give you that tape. You are going to be, when you are ready, we will pray. Just telling me, he was not talking. I said, I'm not yet ready. See, now I was not trying to say what I listened to. And I didn't ask you to come and give me a testimony of how you were blessed by the teaching. That's what I asked you. When the thing hits you, you know, that's what people think the word of God is. You can preach it. Ah, I was so blessed. Ah, that's so. The word, there's the word. Ah, you have the word. And you have a problem. They have not solved. And me, I have the word. When she got a hold of it, she said, sir, I am ready to have a child. I said, very good. I said, what scripture do you believe in? She mentioned it. I said, now let us pray. Within a year, she had a son. She named the son after me. How many people have named their son after me? When I brother a lot of shekmu, you see them. So the truth is this. You know, it's not about gathering knowledge. It's about faith in what you have heard. Consider not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Follow this, please. And stagger not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. That means there will be periods you want to stagger. Ah! That means things will not happen immediately. You know, if things happen immediately, there will be no work of faith. Tam, pam, pam, pam. Some things could take... And then you go out. You say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And the next phone call you get is from a creditor. Now, will you tell the creditor, I am blessed, don't worry, I'll pay you. The guy say, when am I collecting my money? He say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The guy say, you are mad. So, you will have this, and your landlord says, bros, I'm happy, I'm seeing you. You're very happy this day, oh. Are you? God in man would die for that. I said, I got a thing there. That means you're paying my money today. Then the next thing you want to say is that I don't have money. Abi? I said, stagger. Because you will have thought that by what you heard in church, the landlord will have also heard the same thing. Stagger not at the promise of God to unbelief. That means you will hold fast your confession. As you are trying to explain, you say, sir, right now, I don't have the money with me, but I'll pay you. Hallelujah. You get it? You will not stagger in unbelief. Praise God. You won't. When I told the doctor, I said, I will be healed. I said, give me 2 weeks. 2 weeks came. I was still feeling the pains. I just went on. That was in 2001. I just kept speaking God's word. There would just be times I'll be alone. I'll just speak. I'll just pace up and down. So there are times all night I'm just speaking. There are times, some of you don't know what confession does. I thought there's a confession that settles your mind on God's word. When I met a preacher in 1999 and he told me, he said, your generation cannot receive you. And he was such an influential preacher. And I gave him a letter to come and preach for us. And the letter was in his hands. Something in me I just became angry. It's spiritual. I collected my invitation letter from him. You don't do eyeball to eyeball with them. Wow. I said, thank you, sir. I said, yes, sir. You're not quite, what are you doing about our letter? You want to go and put it somewhere? Okay. I walked from his house to go to in Oluyole Estate, and I spoke God's word. Like, you know that distance? I walked. All the scriptures I knew, in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, I said, because that is how to do things by faith. You know that, Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And your body is going bang, bang. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I spoke till I got there. The same man came and said, I want you to preach for me. So he said, generation will come. But it will have come to pass. If I allow those thoughts to set you, are you following me? When the thoughts come, sometimes on the road people say, any problem? No problem. I'm in faith. I'll just speak out. Sorry. Anyway, I said nothing. I'm not talking to you. Praise God. You just speak out God's word. You get my point? Sometimes you just laugh on your own. But a thought came to you. Because you cannot stop a thought from coming, but it can stop it from staying. Some of you think it's God talking to you. You are so dull, not here. You are so dull in faith. You say, ah, you are, it's fear. And you say, God is present. It's not God. I mean, it's not God. Ah, what's wrong with you? The Bible says the shield of faith where you quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Are you following what I'm saying? So he did not stagger through unbelief. What else? Being fully persuaded that he was able to perform, also to perform, he was giving glory to God. Imagine giving glory to God when you had seen nothing. You know, that takes faith. I said that takes faith. Giving glory to God when you had seen nothing. There was a brother who shared this testimony. We were talking. He said he went for an interview. So we prayed. And I said, the job is yours. I said, before you go, no matter what you see, the Bible says the giants will become bread for us. There's nothing about bread in the Bible. So he got there. As he was leaving, as he was going, was one engineer for one water project in Lagos. As he was going, the man that came out before him was a British citizen. With books. The guy was coming like this. Hi, hello. In fact, he almost wanted to carry the guys. Ah! He said, when I saw, he said, I just started speaking in tongues. You know, at that point, you may lose your confession of faith. He just started speaking in tongues. Like, yeah? You know, why somebody, and you're a black man. You know, there's a white man. A white man is coming for, and the guy carried briefcase with papers. And you just carried a pamphlet or something. And he said, you are finished in this place now. He said, I just started speaking. He said, that is how the guy who was in charge, who kept quiet. He said, well, which school do you attend? He mentioned it. They go, ABU. He answered, ABU, eh? Have you? The guy just answered. He said, do you like football? Imagine. Water. Football. Say, I do. Ah, he said, what club? He mentioned the club. Eh, that's good. Nice. He said, do you like traveling? I said, yes. Are you sure you can travel? Those are the questions they were asking him. And the guy was right. He said, you know what I'm right? He said, what? I'm recommending you for the job. He almost said, why? Wow. He said, how? how? Like, this is not right. Do you understand? And imagine seeing, naturally when you see that white man, you just go like, there's no point there. I carry a cellophane paper, and somebody's calling me, and I say, hello, how are you? So never be scared of contradictory evidences. That is why you are in faith. Faith, we see, we believe, then we eventually see. I'll say that one more time. We see, we'll have seen something, then we'll believe it, then we'll now see it. I told somebody one time, he was giving a prophecy to me. He said, you know the problem with what I have with us? I said, I can't see it. He said, I'm telling you, I can't see it. I can't see what you are saying. I said, I don't see negative things. Let it abide in your heart. Say, I'm saying my own as well. Say your own and let it remain in you. When a dog dreams, does he say it? So, Brother Hagin wrote something. Now, look at Mark 5. You know, about faith. He wrote in the book, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. I've always thought this every time. And it was about the woman with the issue of blood.
There were four things she did. Four. Now, you know, I told you last week that hearing the word is not faith. You know, there's no faith in hearing the word. In fact, rehearsing what you've heard is not faith. So, when she heard, there was no action on her part. So, sitting down, all you are doing in meditation and hearing the word is creating the capacity to use your faith. You have not yet used your faith. So, if you have so many scriptures stored up in your heart, faith has not yet worked. If you have so much, that is not faith working yet. As when she heard of Jesus, the Bible says, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment. In the Greek, she kept saying. Now, notice something. I don't know if you have ever been in a situation for long. 12 years is a long time. You must have conditioned yourself. You know, there will be probably a toilet that's for you. There will be kind of food you eat. There will be things that they will now put aside for that condition. Now imagine now having to release your faith with words. You will be seeing those things every day. Things you have been used to for 12 years. In fact, just like today, you know, we still call her the woman with the issue of blood. Not the woman who had. Till date. So imagine what people around that will call her. That woman now. Which woman? That woman that has blood. Medical students who just enter loot will see her. Have you seen that? I'm going to use that. I'm going to clacking page. That was I'm going to clack that woman. Which woman? That woman now. Which woman? The woman with issue of blood. So she heard it so much. Now imagine having to release her faith in words. She now said. She kept saying. If I touch his clothes, I'll be. She kept saying it. So the first thing she did was not that she heard the word. It was that she said it. Faith gives direction to the power of God. She said it. She just kept saying 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 it. Brother Hagin told the story of his son. That's Pastor Hagin now, who is close to 80. That there was a time, you know, he had a problem with his ear. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, that water must not touch his ears, or he will go deaf for the rest of his life. So, as they were going home, said he kept quiet. Said, Dad, what am I supposed to do? Said, that was what I was going to ask him. The boy was 12. Okay, the man now, so he was 12 then. He said, what do you believe? He said, I believe God that I'm healed. He said, good. Use your faith. And the boy used his faith. And he went and dived right into the water. Use his faith. And when he used his faith, he dived into the water. And that was it. So the first thing, she said it. Second thing, she did it. You know, you can say something and not do it. She did it. She did it. She actually touched his clothes. The third thing she did was that she received it. She received it. Now, you know you can start in the spirit and switch off in the flesh. If you start out by speaking, you will continue by speaking. I've seen people lose their healing after healing meetings. Not long after healing meetings. That is, they'll be healed and they'll go out and then they'll lose their healing. That is why teaching faith and healing is so important. It's not just for, you know, when we just have, you know, we can have a healing service and the move of God, just like we do in our meetings, and people get, and then it doesn't stop the person from being sick again and not knowing what to do. So you now expect, oh, let me go for another program and all that. But you see, if you know how to keep your healing, how to receive your healing, pardon me, you know how to keep it. She said it. The last thing she did, I'm going to talk about something now. She now told it. She told it. She said what happened to her. Now, Mark 5. Jesus now said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Do you know Jesus was not planning to lay hands on her? Huh? He didn't. Jesus did not lay hands on her at all. Now, we have seen three instances where I showed you last week and this week where people determined what happened. Remember the centurion? He said, no, don't lay your hands, just say it. Sophonician woman said, look, you may not be sent to me, but let the door, let the crumbs fall down, and then we'll take from it. Again, there was this woman who decided, everybody was there, ah, Jesus, 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 fine boy, Jesus. I mean, some people were touching those clothes, right? And they will have problems like this. They will have cancer, they will have asthma, and they will touch the same clothes. They say, ah, material. You know? Some people probably because they live in his house. But someone else, told of a lady, just said, she was slipping into a coma. He said to her brother, call Pastor Onyeka now. That's what she said. I've never met her before, who was on Facebook. So the brother did not know who that was. So the brother went on her Facebook because she was already unconscious. At this hospital here, what's this hospital? It's another road here. See this road there, Montgomery. So the brother now went on Facebook and saw another pastor who I know. I said, do you know so and so? I said, I know him. Say, please, can you give me the number? He said, my sister says, call. Don't call me. So and so person. I said, my friend. I said, maybe a friend of his. I don't know. Does that say commission? I said, no. I said, okay, no problem. That she just said, you know, she called. I said, okay. Now what is going on? So and so happened. There was a background to the story that you don't want to hear. Then she came to her consciousness. I said, fine. So I just prayed. The next day, they had put her on oxygen and all these things. And the hospital was like, look, they want to remove it and just take her to Luke. I think they've given up. That they just put her in Luke. I mean, so she'll be close to the mortuary. That's the point. So I said, put the phone in her ears. Say, in the name of Jesus. We have never met. Now look at what our faith said. Call so and so person. See, faith works that way. That is what she believed for. So, the woman, listen carefully, there were other people touching Jesus' clothes. How many people did I talk to on phone? Some people tell you, get away on the same phone. Is it not true? In the same phone, somebody said, just say a word. How many times Jesus speak a word and the Pharisees say, get out, Pharisees, and they'll be sick. For faith gives direction to the power of... Am I talking to anybody here? Now, notice something that happened. I want you to listen to it very well. What was Jesus doing before she touched his clothes? Where was he going? He was going to Jairus' house. Look at verse 24. 23. Jairus came to Jesus and said, look, Master, my little daughter lies at home at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And at that point, the daughter was sick. So Jesus was going to Jairus' house. So they were trying to clear the crowd. He was going there. Then this incident happened. That means many things can happen at the same time. Hallelujah. Pay attention to this. Now, I had wondered, why did Jesus ask the woman to tell everything? Jesus now asked her, say everything, what happened to you? Now, who was with Jairus? Who was with Jesus? Jairus. So Jairus had to listen to what the woman did. Oh God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jairus had to listen. Sometimes we can be so desperate, we are not listening to the principles that work. Jairus now listened. How the woman said, I kept saying, till I did what she like, did it, and I received it. As the woman was through, what happened next? They said, your daughter is dead. And Jesus immediately, he told Jairus, fear not. Only believe. That means Jairus, a few minutes
have learned what it means to believe. What it meant to believe. Jairus had to hear that testimony. He had to listen to it. It's in 2001, when I went to do a checkup and I was told this is going to be something you are going to treat for the rest of your life. It's either terminal or all that. I went to someone's room. And then he was playing a tape by a preacher. And the Lord said, sit down and listen. I was wondering. I know this conference. I've heard it before. But there was just something I didn't pay attention to. The guy now gave a testimony of how he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And then he said, I told the doctor, give me 2 weeks. I'll be here. That was what I had to hear before I went to the doctor. Are you following what I'm saying? It didn't click that. Just say, listen. That's okay. I thought it was another thing I would hear to share with people that usually can be healed in 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So when the doctor spoke to me, the thing came to me. I said, give me 2 weeks. Of course, my was not 2 weeks. But there was something I had heard. Are you following what I'm saying? Jairus had to hear it. So the preacher said that he now went into his closet and took his whole books on healing. Brother Higgins, how to have what you say. Right and wrong thinking. How to have to get with God. And he said he chopped the thing. When I was younger, the way I used to study, I would write out notes on something. I will now chew it. Don't let me tell you some things I used to do. Practically, if I'm going to preach, as you said, I'll just chew it. The word is in me now. I will read it. Forget me. Don't. I will take it like this. You know? So when I heard that, So I went back to the same scriptures of him. I didn't quote any Greek word. There's no Greek word here now. It's time to now use Yoruba words. You get my point? So Jairus had to hear that testimony. So he just said, fear not! That means Jesus is not a magician. I just go there. You know, he just said, Jairus, don't worry. Small. Just small. He had to turn to me. Immediately. When I was studying, the Lord said to me, he said, did you notice that it was immediately? You don't allow fearful thoughts to stay. Jesus did not wait. I said, Dad, what are you thinking? Don't worry, devil. Immediately, he attacked those thoughts. Fear not. So, Jairus had to hear what happened. Brothers and sisters, we need to guard our hearts. Jesus immediately said, Jairus, guard your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues that govern life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. The word issues in the Greek, in the Hebrew means borders. The thoughts that come to you as they come. Don't wait for thoughts to mature. I thought somebody said, no weapon. You allow the weapon to fashion. It will prosper. Don't wait for weapon to fashion. I say it will not prosper. This one has prospered though. You will not allow it at all to stay. As it comes, you just immediately. Immediately. Because the words that came to your heart came by words. They can only live by words. If you want to walk in love, it's by words. If you want to walk in forgiveness, it's by words. If you want to remove hurt from your heart, it's by words. If you want to walk in healing, it's by words. You will have to use your words. If you keep talking about what somebody has done to you, how you feel, it will never leave you nor forsake you. You will release yourself from it and say, look, I am above strife, I am above hurt, I am above unforgiveness, I am above, in the same way. So when it comes to healing, you use your words. And the pain increases, you use your words. Don't say, some people's mogbe is more than the word. Mogbe! Yeah! 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 Let the words of faith
proceed from your mouth. I'll close here. Are you learning something? Jairus had to hear those things. There are things you have to hear. You have to hear them. There was someone like that who told me how his body was paralyzed. Immediately I just said, go and read Brother Higgins' healing testimony. Just listen to it. And he listened and listened and listened and listened. I said, when you listen, you will know what to do. He listened and listened and listened and listened and listened. He now told me. He said, the scripture, as Brother Higgins was talking, Brother Higgins was in Mark 11, said the scripture that came to him, when you lay hands on the sick. He said, since it's this part that is paralyzed, this other part, he said, this is the one that will lay hands on the sick. I would never have thought like that. So he just put it like this. Say in Jesus' name. Say in Jesus' name. He said that the thing didn't go. He now said that he didn't say you will lay hands once. I don't know how he got all that. Like, until gradually the whole body became whole. There are things. It's no way you are believing for healing. You want Telemundo. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith works all the time. Faith works all the time. I hold fast my confession of faith without wavering. That means I will not. You won't waver 1 minute. You lift your hands and thank God. I am healed. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm healed. Healing is working in my body right now. And your chest is pounding. Bam, bam, bam. Healing is working in my body right now. Healing is working in my body right now. By the power of the Holy Ghost, healing is working. And you are saying it. And you are saying. Don't forget, you check your heart out of strife. You get it? Rid of our strife and bitterness, dishonor, envy. Think of this. They are too dirty. You get it? They are too dirty for your heart. They are too dirty. Like somebody said, leave trash for Loma. Leave strife for the devil. It's true. Leave trash for Loma. Amen. May I learn from some of those things? What are you doing with unforgiveness? Is it your own? What are you doing with strife? Does it belong to you? Go and do restitution. Give it back to the owner. That's real restitution. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I have healing. Healing is mine in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Someone told me, say, if you go and preach for the rest of this year into next year, he said, that will be your last preaching. Now, there was some sense in what he said, because I had to rest. So, I did 2 weeks off, and there was this scripture that kept coming to 2004, that kept coming to my heart. And I just kept quoting it. For those 2 weeks, I got up, I called our team, and I said, we are having believers' convention. It was almost like we were going to postpone it. I said, no. We are having believers' convention. I had broken down totally. I said, we are having believers' convention. Everybody just kept quiet. That's when we called Kola. When he did the 2004. When he did the, okay, let's talk about it. Would you forget that thing? I mean, I said, go and do that. You know, you came to Kola that day. I said, go and do that. They said, I should not go and preach. I said, we are believers' convention. I see myself on the pulpit. I'll preach and nothing will happen. But before then, I had another meeting. Praise God. Glory to God. I was saying, Pastor, you know, you have to take it easy. Said, at what age? Please, at what age? Brother Higgin was teaching 52 weeks a year. It's 1 week. He was 80 something. So if by now you are doing like this, it's not good. It's not good for your spiritual life. Hallelujah. He said, I'm taking the meeting. The meeting is good, hold, and I am going to speak there. Praise God. I said it and I kept saying it. He inspired doctor's advice. And I stood there and I ministered to the sick. Praise God. You release faith by words. You don't release faith in your thoughts. You don't release faith in just by thinking about it or reading the Bible. You release faith by words. Somebody here this evening, you're ready to release your faith. Are you ready to release your faith? Tonight, tomorrow, this week, hallelujah. Are you ready to release your faith when there's nothing in your account and you're speaking abundance? There's nothing. I say money comes to me. My needs are met, my bills are paid. In the name of Jesus, resources come to me. Men are stirred up to help me and favor me. Hallelujah. And you speak healing to your body. That chest condition, that back condition, that high condition, that, you know, whatever it is. Praise God. And you begin to release faith in your words. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Praise God.